Well, this morning, we're going to look at a test. And we're also going to look at choosing, choices. Because every day, all day long, we make choices. And these choices affect our life. What do I want to eat for breakfast? What do I want to wear today? What does my profession want to be? The car I drive. Should I marry? Should I stay single? And if I should marry, is that the right one for me? I mean, the whole life is choices. Some of them don't matter so much, and others are very extremely important. And today we're going to read about the most important choice that we can make on this destiny of earth that we're on. We are still Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin with middle of the book. Last week we learned a little bit about being justified, meaning I have peace with God, I have access to the throne of grace, I rejoice in hope, and I joy in the Lord. We learned all about that. We also kind of understood a little bit more about the word atonement, because atonement in Greek, in this case, is different than the same atonement that is the word in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for atonement is kafar, and it's different. It means a covering. Brother Jeff takes a covering and puts it over his piles of hay so they stay dry. Doesn't change the hay that's under the cover, but it covers them. Well, kafar covered the sins of the Israelites, but it could not make atonement for the sins. The scripture says the blood of bulls and goats cannot, never, ever put away sin. That would take the blood of our Savior, Jesus. And so now Paul explains why Christ had to die on the cross. Chapter 5 of Romans, we're going to begin reading verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. In Genesis, we have the account. Genesis 3. And that is not fiction. It is totally historically true. It happened. Adam and Eve were a real, living, breathing person. And Adam was more than just the first man. Because if you look up his name, he lived up to it. His name, Adam, means mankind. It means humanity, all humanity. But yet there was only two people on the earth then. But in Adam, all humanity was there when he sinned. And so the whole human race is viewed as existing in Adam. It's Adam who is responsible for the fall of mankind, not Eve. Eve was deceived, yes. She sinned, yes. But Adam sinned knowing he was sinning. He knew what he was doing was wrong, that God said, don't do that. That's why God held him accountable. That's why through him, we all are sinners. Now, in that Genesis, version, God gave Adam a promise and a command. The command, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. And here's the promise. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so the principle of death was introduced into the world when Adam sinned, not Eve. And it has reigned on earth ever since, even up to today. And we know, since sin and death are connected to each other, we're all sinners. Everybody's a sinner. Because we die. And that's what God said. When you sin, Adam, you're going to die. And all mankind has been sinning and dying ever since. And it's not because of our sin that we die. That's important to know. Because even young babies, before they even can talk and move and do anything, some of those babies die. They are subject to death. Mortality is a result of sin. Adam's. And so we don't die from our personal sins. We die from Adam's sin. And Paul goes on in verse 13, he says, until the law, sin was in the world. But sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of him to come. That proves we're not sinners because we broke the law. Sin and death was in the world before the law came in the world. There was no law between Adam and Moses, and yet people died. You go to Genesis 5 and read the genealogy of Adam, every single one. You'll read the same phrase over and over and over again. And he died. And yet, the law wasn't given. So it wasn't the law that caused us to sin. In Adam, all die. And because we are united racially to Adam, we die. And because we're lost in Adam, he's our racial head, so to speak, we can be saved in Christ, who is the head of the new creation. And now Paul goes into giving us a contrast. It's always good to have contrast. Black, white, red, green, purple, yellow. Does that go together? Yeah? So he gives us this contrast. Adam's offense is contrasted against Christ's free gift. And verse 15, he says, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Christ Jesus, abounded to many. So the two are not the same. Because of Adam's transgress, many died, he says. But because of Christ's obedience, the grace of God abounds to many, bringing life. And if you look at that word many, it is the same as in verse 12, all men. So it is through Christ, everybody, all mankind can be saved. And much more than that, he says. He uses much more about five times in this ending chapter. More than that, he says, the grace of Christ doesn't just bring physical life, but it brings spiritual life and abundant. Abundant life. In John 10:10. Yeah, it's this way. 10:10. He says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they, meaning us, those people, may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. So we don't just live, we have more abundant life when we live in Christ. And he tells us the gift in verse 16 is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses results in justification. And then he clarifies it. If by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, again, much more, he says, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. He's telling us why we're the way we are. Adam's sin brought judgment and condemnation. Christ's work on the cross brought justification. And when Adam sinned, he was declared unrighteous and condemned. You will now die. When a sinner trusts Christ, we are justified. We saw that last week. We are declared righteous in Jesus. And because of Adam's disobedience, death came into the earth. There was no death before Adam sinned. No animal died. No plant died. Adam and Eve didn't die. Everything lived. But when Adam sinned, death entered the earth, and it reigned. Think for a moment how completely death is reigning under the curse of Adam. Everybody who is born dies. There's no exception. There's two in the Old Testament. That's another story. The mortality rate today is 100%, I think, isn't it? Everybody in the cemetery is dead. Yeah, that is. We think of this world as the world of the living. Land of the living. But no, it really isn't. It's the land of the dying. Because the moment you are born, you begin dying. You start aging and aging and aging. But Paul says the reign of life through Jesus Christ is more certain than death. That's an interesting statement. We know death is certain. But reigning in life through Christ is more certain than death. In Jesus, we have a new kingdom. We enter this new kingdom. We're justified by faith. He declares us righteous. We have peace with God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory that is to come. I read verse 17, but there might have been a phrase in there you missed. So I'm going to read it again. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, here it is, will reign in life through Jesus Christ. In Adam, we lost our kingship. But in Christ, we, you, me, believers, reign in Jesus Christ. As kings, we get that kingship back again. And our spiritual reign is far greater than Adam's earthly reign was. Because we share in the abundance of grace, it says. And we have the gift of righteousness. The old things have passed away. Everything is new again. You know, you wake up every morning not sinning until you get out of bed. Every morning is a fresh day. Well, in Christ, we become new. No longer can you sit there and say, that's my Irish temper that's coming out. You can't use that anymore because you have a new nature. You have the nature of Jesus Christ. You're born again by the Spirit of God. A new creature. And now, it's Christ that's the origin of your life, not Adam. Therefore, as Paul says in verse 18, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that includes women, men and women, resulting in condemnation, he says, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one, verse 19, by one man's disobedience we were all made sinners. Also by one man's obedience, many, meaning all, were made righteous. Those two verses are about two one acts. Adam did not have to commit a whole series of sins. In one act, God tested Adam. And he failed. It's called an offense. Act of disobedience. And the word offense means trespass. Crossing over the line. Some people say you missed the mark in the shooting of an arrow. You missed the bullseye. They crossed over the line.
They went over the fence.
What?
They went over the fence, therefore it's a fence.
Yeah, right. God told Adam, this is as far as you can go, right here. You can eat everything in the whole garden, but the fruit from this tree. And Adam, on his own, decided to cross over the line and go beyond his boundaries. Now, in contrast to the trespass of one, Adam, we have the righteousness of one, Jesus. Sin and grace both come to us from one. You did bring it down to 40. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross not only made it possible for justification, but Paul says he gave us justification of life. It's more than a legal term. The legal term of justification describes our position before God. We went over that last time. It's as if we never sinned. But it results in a certain kind of life now. Not just as if I never sinned. I have to live differently. I have to have a living union with Jesus, a new life. You can't be the same kid you were. It's a righteous life of obedience to God is what it is. And our union with Adam made us sinners, but now we have this union with Christ. Now, I'm assuming you all were born again and came to accept Christ. If you haven't, then you're not in this category. But we have this union with Christ now. And that is what enables us to reign in life. Now, the power of the individual can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. And the stuff we do, every single one of our acts and things that we do are so widespread and influencing. And perhaps it's actually eternal in consequence. Think about this. Do you want your life to be a curse to those around you? Or do you want it to be a blessing to those around you? Because it's going to be one or the other. And the choice is ours. I titled this, Time to Choose. Because the choice is ours. Do I want to do all the mischief and all the harm I can in my life? Or do I instead want to follow in the footsteps of the one who went every day doing good? And that is Christ. Do I want to be like him? There's two forces that are working within us. The hereditary of sin and grace. And grace and mercy can triumph over sin. Grace can change the corrupt and the degenerate heart. Grace reigns through righteousness. And God's purpose in justification is not merely that you're saved from the guilt of sin. Also, he wants you delivered from the power of sin. Food for thought before we move on. None of us had to make a personal choice to receive the curse from Adam. You got that free. Automatic. Well, if that's the case, is it true that every person, apart from personal choice now, you don't have to choose, you automatically receive the benefits of Jesus' obedience to the cross? No. That's not the case. It's a free gift. Justification, righteousness, yes. But you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. You have to choose that gift. You have to accept it. So if there's power in the sin of one man, Adam, who was of the earth, earthly, and that condemned us, how much more power is there in the righteousness and the grace of Jesus Christ, who is Lord from heaven, to justify and to save us? We can't compare them. There's just so much more power there. That's because the river of grace and righteousness is deeper and broader than the stream of guilt. Now, this righteousness, it not only takes away the guilt of Adam's one offense in us, it removes many other, all the other offenses that we commit, past, present, future. It forgives them all. And we not only receive a pardon, talked about pardons before, it's only good if you accept it. Well, we receive the pardon. And we're not only freed from the chains of sin that keep dragging us down, but like Joseph, we advance to second chariot. And we're made into God, made unto God as kings and priests, as it says in Revelation. Two more verses to read and we'll be done with the chapter. Paul goes on, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's telling us here, the law does not justify us. The law doesn't even make us sinners. Adam did that. The law makes our sin clearer, and it makes it greater because it contrasts it to God's holy standards. Before the law, there was no sin. Yeah, people did bad things, but there was no law, so there was no comparison. And when the law was given, everyone realized, or should have, I'm not a good person. I need someone to save me. That's what the law did. It showed us we need a savior. It showed us we can't live up to God's standards. The law is only temporary. Grace is eternal. Doesn't stop, ever. Grace was not added on to God's plan at the very end when he saw that man sinned. It was there from the very beginning. He knew it all ahead of time. God dealt with Adam and Eve in grace, did he not? He could have dropped them dead right then and there, but he dealt in grace. He dealt with the Old Testament patriarchs in grace. He dealt with the nation of Israel in grace over and over again. God gave the law through Moses, not to replace his grace that he was giving them all along, but just to reveal that man needed grace. And as the law made our sins look bigger and greater and more than we ever were realizing before, it says God's grace abounded much more than that. This Christian body is subject to death. And our old nature, it still wants to tempt us to sin a little or a lot. But in Jesus, we can reign in life because we're part of the kingdom of Christ now. Now, we can't help being in Adam. That was a hereditary thing. We all have it. That came when we were born. We had no control over that. But we can't help staying in Adam. We don't have to stay there because we can experience a second birth, a new birth, a birth from above, one that will put us in Christ. That's why Jesus, when he came to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3. So we're back to our choices. They determine our eternal life. I want to run over to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. What's that about? That scripture? Huh? Taking of the church, believers. Which means you have to choose to belong to Christ, to meet him in the air. You have to make that choice. It's not automatic, like the sin from Adam. There's a time coming, and it's not far off, that's going to be very terrible on this earth. It's called the tribulation period. Where there's another one man, the Antichrist, that's going to persecute believers. Always going to look good at first. And a lot of people are going to follow him. But if you don't choose now, you're going to go through that tribulation period. So salvation is available to every single one of us. And Jesus says you can have it for the taking. Follow me. Believe in me. And he says, in Scripture, I will keep you from the wrath that is to come. Choose today, guys. I think it's a lot closer than we think. Lord, I can't add to your word. It is the truth, and it's forever. For those who haven't made that choice yet, Lord, I pray for them today that they would make that choice to follow you and to believe in you and to become a member of the body of Christ. And as we see the things unfold this year, this next coming year, Lord, I think it's going to be a lot more evident that your time is close. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know the season. And may we all be ready and have our lamps filled with oil, that we may enter into the bridegroom chamber and celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Put a blessing on everybody that was here and those that couldn't come. Keep Judy safe on her trip to Mexico. Keep calling those that are lost, Lord, and bring them to you. In Jesus' name we come and pray. Amen.